This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
If you can remember more than one teacher's name from elementary school, junior high, or high school, you're doing well. You know, I questioned a number of adults in a class years ago, and not one of them could remember one teacher, which I thought was sad. It was kind of pathetic, both from their standpoint and from the teacher's standpoint. If you can remember three or four teachers by name who meant a difference to your life, who helped you in your life, then consider yourself fortunate. I remember one teacher from seventh grade by the name of Mrs. Conrad. Mrs. Conrad one day was teaching the subject of diagramming sentences. Remember when you put the subject and the predicate and the adverbs and the adjectives, and I can tell by the looks on some of your faces, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about because you don't remember that at all. In fact, I asked about 15 people, can you diagram a sentence after the service? And everybody said, no, I can't. So it's gone. That memory's gone from your life, probably. She was teaching diagramming sentences, and I couldn't get it. I did not understand it. I was very frustrated that I didn't understand it. So I went up to her after the class and said, Mrs. Conrad, probably about that tall, I said, I don't get it. I don't understand it. She said, you come to my room after the school's over, and I'll share with you. So she took about 30 to 40, 50 minutes and just went over and over by myself and said, the subject, the predicate goes here. This is what the predicate is. This is what the subject is. This is what an adverb is. This is what an adjective does. It modifies the noun, that kind of thing. Some of the things that I do remember from it. And I remember this moment as clear as if it were yesterday. It was like a light went off when I finally understood it. And I remember thinking, now I get it. May I tell you what Mrs. Conrad did for me? She did more than teach me how to diagram a sentence. Here's what she did. She opened up my mind to something I didn't understand until that moment. Listen to that again. She opened up my mind to understand something I didn't understand until that moment. Today we're going to look at a passage of Scripture in the Gospel of Luke where Luke says that Jesus opened up the minds of the disciples to understand the Scriptures. Find that fascinating. Jesus himself opened up the minds of the disciples to understand Scripture. I'm going to say something that I think shocked some people in the first service. There are men in this room that are praying for a wife to change. I'm going to ask you to stop praying that prayer. Today I am. There are wives that are praying for a husband to change. If God would just change my husband, our marriage would be so much better. I'm going to ask you to stop praying that prayer. Some of you are praying for children to change. You're praying for a parent to change, a brother or sister. Today, this day, stop praying that prayer. You know what I'm going to ask you to pray? Lord, would you open up his mind to your truth? Lord, would you open up her mind to the truth of the gospel, the truth of her need for forgiveness? Would you open up their mind to the hurt and the pain they have caused? You know, so many people have hurt other people and they have no idea of the pain they've caused somebody else. Don't have a clue. Some of you have hurt people in ways you're not even aware of it. It's never occurred to you that you have hurt somebody, and part of spiritual renewal in my mind, and we'll talk about that in a minute, the Lord opens up your mind to the pain that you've caused somebody else. And you say, forgive me. And you repent of that. All of that is dealt with in the passage we're going to study today in Luke, the 24th chapter.
Well, we've been in the book of Luke for over a year on Cross Hope. I don't know if you realize that or not, but we have. This is the last message in the Luke series. We begin a brand new series next week from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. God bless you. You should continue to listen tomorrow. Well, yesterday in Cross Hope, we began the final message in a series that's lasted over a year from the Gospel of Luke. The series was called A Simple Gospel. This week, a message on opening up your minds. The final message from Luke 24, beginning at verse 44. God bless you as you listen today.
Jesus said to them, This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Here's the verse I want you to underline, if you underline in your Bible. Then Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Before I get to the verse that I'm going to focus in on about the Lord opening up your mind and my mind, I want to talk about something that's talked about in this passage about worship. Luke says they worshiped Christ after his ascension into heaven, and they praised God. They were filled with joy. And I want to talk to you about worship in a way that I've never talked to anybody about worship. Some of you grew up that worship was a ritual or a rite. Some of you grew up with worship being something legalistic that you did. Well, we've got to go through these prescribed motions because, you see, that's part of doing penance. I think some men in this room probably grew up thinking, I sinned this week, so one way that I pay for my sin is I have to go to church and listen to some boring guy talk for 30 minutes. That's my punishment. Some of you probably grew up with that. And I know that's true, that people looked at church and worship as punishment for what you did during the week. That's how you pay off God. That's how you even the score. And I want to talk to you about worship in a whole different way by telling you a story by Bob Green, who used to write for the Chicago Sun-Times. He wrote a book called Good Morning, Mary Sunshine, and he writes about how his daughter, Amanda, when she was just an infant, in order to see her, Bob Green said he and his wife would have to walk out of their bedroom and go into her room and look at her in the crib. Those of you that have small children can relate to this. The time came when Amanda figured out, guess what, how to get out of the crib. And she figured out not only how to get out of the crib, but then to crawl into their room. And many a morning, Bob Green said he would be lying on his side facing the wall, and he would open his eyes to this little Amanda staring 2 inches from his eyes, looking at him. And he said she was fascinated with looking at him and coming to see him, and it was just the delight of her day, at least he thought, to come and see him. He wrote this, apparently I became one of the objects that fascinate Amanda. It's so strange. After months of having to go to her, she now is choosing to come to me. I don't know how to react. All I can figure is that she likes the idea of coming in and looking at me. She doesn't expect anything in return. I'll return her gaze, and in a few minutes, she'll decide she wants back in her room or back in the living room, and off she'll crawl again. Can I tell you what worship is from this story? Worship is coming into the presence of the one you love, Jesus Christ. Worship is coming into the presence of the one you love. When you take communion and you shared those emblems today, you came into his presence. That's a new definition for worship. For somebody today, you thought it had to do with ritual and you had to do with certain order and prescribed things you do religiously. It has to do with coming into the presence of the one you love. I want to bring up a verse that I think is so important, verse 47. If we can bring up 47. Jesus is speaking. He says, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You know what's crucially important? I never have heard any minister ever, ever, ever talk about this verse. But Jesus is telling the disciples, here's what it's all about, guys. You want to know what you preach to people and you proclaim? Two things, repentance of sin and forgiveness. You can get on the internet today and you can look at the sermon topics and titles of ministers all over the country. This is not a slam on any church, any ministry in particular, but here's what I found this week, just looking through sermon titles. 5 ways to be happy. 10 ways to be a success. 3 ways to make your spouse happy. 4 ways to be a better parent. Anything wrong with those topics? Not at all. We all need that kind of stuff. But I want you to notice, contrast that with what Jesus said
you're going to talk about repentance of sin and you're going to talk about forgiveness. Then it dawned on me this week. It doesn't matter how successful you are in life or in your marriage if you haven't repented of the sin in your life and you don't know the forgiveness of Christ. What difference does it make if you're successful in every area of life and you've achieved all of your goals and your immediate goals, your long-range goals and your strategic goals are all accomplished, but you haven't repented of the sin in your life or received the forgiveness of Christ? Let's talk about those two words just for a moment. It's politically incorrect to talk about repentance today. People don't talk about repentance. You know what repentance means? It means you basically come to the place in your life where you're willing to say three words. Here they are. Write them down. I have sinned. That's a new experience for some people, even in churches. That's a new experience for Christian people to say, I have sinned, and yet there is no healing, there is no recovery until we acknowledge to the Lord God Almighty that we have sinned. And there's nothing that is spiritually cleansing until I have been forgiven by receiving what Jesus did on the cross. Saying I have sinned is more than just a religious statement. It's the definition of who we are. When David in the Old Testament committed the sin of adultery and murder, you know, remember he had the man, the husband of the woman that he was having an affair with killed. A lot of people forget about that. Remember what he did? He gave the order for her husband to be put at the front line of the battle, and then he gave the order for the soldiers to pull back, and he's left there all alone with a sword fighting 20 or 30 people. Well, they killed him. He was responsible for his murder, but when David came under conviction, when David's mind was opened up to what he had done, here's what he says to God. This is really important. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this wickedness in your sight. He wasn't ignoring Bathsheba and her family and her husband's family. He wasn't ignoring the nation of Israel. He just realized that sin ultimately was a wound against the Father. Would you go home with that today, if you don't go home with anything else, that all sin in my life and in your life ultimately is a sin, a wound against the Father? And so recognizing that sin is what we need to do. That's called repentance. Forgiveness is something that the Lord does.
Well, tomorrow on Cross Hope, we're going to stress that forgiveness is something that God does. It's an act of God to be forgiven, and most men, most women don't realize that. We continue this message tomorrow, the last message from the series in Luke, tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org.
Forgiveness is something that the Lord does. If you're a person who withholds forgiveness from other people, remember that what matters ultimately is the Lord's forgiveness. I've met people, even Christian people, who withhold forgiveness from people as if it really matters to that person, and it does matter. I'm not downplaying it at all. But they act like it's the only thing that matters, and that's not true. What matters is that God forgives me, not you forgive me. What matters is that God forgives you, not that I forgive you. That's what I want you to go home with today. Ultimately, what matters is that the Lord does. And the forgiveness that's offered by the Lord Jesus Christ is the second half of the two-part message that Jesus said you're going to preach. Repentance of sin and forgiveness of sin. Repentance and forgiveness. It's the missing element in most churches today. Now then, we're going to focus in on verse 45. Let's bring up verse 45. Then Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. I am big on word meanings. You know that if you've ever heard me preach before. And I want to tell you what I found out about the word open. It's a graphic term. I found out the word open would be used to describe the Greek word for what happens when a woman has a baby for the first time. What happens for the first time? The womb is opened in a way that it's never been opened before. And that's the word that Luke uses, that Luke the doctor, that Jesus opened the minds. In other words, their minds were opened in a way they'd never been opened before. I found out it's a term that would be used medically to describe when a person has surgery and the chest is opened up, the abdominal cavity is opened up, and it's there's an incision made and it's opened up in a way it's never happened before. And if you've had surgery, you hope it never happens again. But that's the word, opened up their abdomen or their chest. And that's the word that Luke says, that Jesus Christ opened up the minds of the disciples to understand the scriptures. I was wondering then, is that used in any other place? Yes, it is. In the book of Acts, it talks about a woman by the name of Lydia. Lydia was a seller of purple. She was from the city of Thyatira. She was a businesswoman. She had her own business. And Acts 16:14 says that the Lord opened up her mind so she could respond to Paul's message. I love that. The Lord opened up Lydia's mind so she could respond to Paul's message. You know, I've met so many ministers over the years who've told me how many people they've won to Christ. Well, I won these people, and I won him, and then I won her, and then I won this group of people. Folks, I came to the realization a long time ago, I don't win anybody to Christ. Nobody. The Lord opens up the mind of that man. The Lord opens the mind of that woman so they understand that Jesus is Lord. And it said, you got any other proof? Yeah, 1 Corinthians says, no man or woman calls Jesus Lord except by the Spirit of God. I know I've explained this before, but it's worth explaining again. In conversion, you know what happens? The Holy Spirit of God speaks to your spirit and my spirit and says to us, Jesus Christ is Lord. And the light goes off like in Mrs. Conrad's class, but only in a more profound way. And I realize Jesus is who he claimed to be. He really, really is who he claimed to be. And my life will never be the same because I've come to that realization. I want to close with a dramatic story of how the Lord can open up the mind of a man. And you'll never believe where I got this story. I found it in the Wall Street Journal.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but I want you to hear this conversion story from the Wall Street Journal of all things. It will speak to you in a powerful way how a man's eyes were opened to Christ. Well, this is the last message from the book of Luke. It's been over a year since we started. The series is called Simple Gospel. We close with a powerful story that people ask, you know, where do you get your stories? Well, I get them everywhere and anywhere. I gleaned this story years ago from the Wall Street Journal, saved it for years, and I'm using it today. God bless you as you listen.
Lisa Miller is a writer for the Wall Street Journal, and she writes about a man by the name of Kenny Lombino. L-O-M-B-I-N-O, a good Irish name. No, that's Italian, by the way. Lombino is Italian. Listen to what she writes about Kenny Lombino. Interesting story. In many ways, the 90s have been good to Kenny. He got a job with a top brokerage firm in Los Angeles. He has a $600,000 bachelor pad, that's back in the 90s, and a blue Jaguar with vanity plates. He's even a master skydiver, having accomplished the difficult 30-way, 30 divers linked together, plummeting to the ground. And then Kenny Lombino is quoted as saying this, but last year, I realized I needed something more. Now get this, he's got a $600,000 bachelor pad, the Jaguar with the vanity plates, very successful at what he does. Here I am, 45 years old, and my life isn't going anywhere. Here I am, 45 years old, and my life isn't going anywhere. I have a penthouse in Westwood and the right kind of car, and my life is empty. My life is empty. So Kenny Lombino did something very radical. You know what he did? He went to church. He went to church. And Lisa Miller said he committed his life to Jesus Christ. The radical, why would you need Jesus when you got a $600,000 bachelor pad and a Jaguar? I'll tell you why, because his life was empty. There is nothing in this world that will fill your life like Jesus Christ will. Remember that. Nothing. Nothing that you will buy, nothing that you will earn, nothing you will inherit will make up for the vacuum that's in your life. It's shaped like the Lord himself, and only the Lord can fill that vacuum. I didn't share this part in the first service, but I'm going to share it here. Lisa Miller, in her article, went on to say this. Many people once felt a need for a formal relationship with God only when one of three things happened. They got married, they had babies or they were about to die. You know, she nails it right on the head. That's when ministers hear from people more than any other time. People want to get married, they're having a baby, or they're about to die. Kenny Lombino said, I want to have a relationship with the Lord that doesn't involve my death, doesn't involve having a baby, and doesn't involve getting married necessarily. He wanted to have a relationship with the Lord, period. Whatever you go home with from this message today, you know what I want you to go home with the most? That the two things that Jesus said are going to be preached in future generations are the two things that are primary in your life, repentance and forgiveness. Repentance without forgiveness is legalism. I've been in churches that preach legalism. You're not doing the right thing, you're going to hell. Legalism, that's all. Churches that preach forgiveness with no repentance, it's all sentimentality. Hey, we're all forgiven. God bless you. Have a nice day. You need both. We need to repent of the sin in our lives, realizing that I have sinned are the three most important words I'll ever say in my life, and that there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness, and it's through Christ and what he did on the cross. Let's pray together.
Well, I hope you know that it's all about the cross. Anything positive in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your career, in your education, believe it or not, is connected to the cross. It's what he accomplished through his substitutionary death on the cross. His name is Jesus. Come to him today. God bless you.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.